Well, it's great to be back in East Lansing.
So tell us, why, as a boy in Williamston, was MSU the right choice for you at the time?
Well, I certainly wasn't going to go to Ann Arbor, right? No, when I graduated from high school, I actually graduated early from high school and had a couple semesters, spring semester, to burn. So I started with classes early at Michigan State and just continued. It was a right fit for me.
And how did the place impact you? How does it maybe still today?
I bounced around majors a little bit at the beginning, finding myself from, I think it was pre-med, then computer science, but I was always involved in the School of Music, and that really kind of became my heartbeat. I found a tribe within this big, you know, the big university, and found the small school vibe in that, and had a lot of opportunities, so that always spoke to me.
So tell me, why music for you? Have you always been a musician your entire life? Or?
Yeah, I grew up, my mother was a church organist, and like all kinds of kids, we started out with piano and fought it when we wanted to go do sports and stuff. But then I found trumpet, and that kind of that stuck for me, and I followed that all the way through, and it was always a great outlet for me.
So what skills did you develop as a musician that contributed to your success in business, where you're the CEO of ThinkWell, which we'll get into?
You know, I talk a lot about this to schools of music and touched on it in the commencement address as well. People don't realize there's all these transferable skills and disciplines you have, from accountability, being disciplined in the hours of practice, knowing that you have to own your own mistakes, so you go into the corner and you work on them, knowing when to lead and when to follow. You know, being a supporting musician is as important as being a soloist. And I think all those transfer into, you know, project teams and group dynamics that you see in the work environment.
And did you have mentors at the College of Music whom you wanted to emulate?
In my path, there was a handful of professors that really, really, really affected me and pushed me. I think the other thing is, you know, always reaching outside of your comfort zone and having a few instructors that would guide you in that process was very valuable for me.
Now, how did you find your path after graduating from MSU? Tell us what happened as you left, because you're not exactly in a music field anymore.
No, I like to say I have a career from music as opposed to a career in music. Now, I was fortunate. I went an audition after college to be part of something in Disneyland called the All-American College Band. They do a national tour, put together a big band of, you know, college hotshots for the summer, but it's a internship program. You spend half your day performing in the park, half your day in workshops, learning about the business of music with studio musicians and going to studios and things like that. When I was at Michigan State, we didn't really have the arts management and business management classes that you can do now to understand that there's a career there. So when I was at Disney, I started meeting these people, and the light bulb went off to realize there's this whole other business behind art that you can do that supports it. And that's where I really got bitten by the bug.
So tell us more about ThinkWell. What is ThinkWell? What do you do?
ThinkWell is an experience design company. We design things that people do and shared experiences in the real world. So that's everything from theme parks to museums, presidential libraries, urban retail dining districts. Anywhere you have a guest that's connecting with a brand and something in the physical world, we design. If you're familiar with Disney Imagineering, we're kind of like Imagineering for everybody else.
So take us back. What was your first big event, project, or unveiling that you were responsible for?
I think one of the most transformative projects I had was working on the 1993 Super Bowl halftime show, which was the Michael Jackson halftime show. It was the first rock and roll show where a stage had to come on the field in 5 minutes and get set up. And a friend of mine was designing that set and brought me in to help figure out how to get it on the field. And for me, it's marching band, right? How do you get 300 people to work together to get something done? And that turned into a career for 10 Super Bowls and Olympics and things like that.
Man. And, you know, you've said in the past, Joe, that you kind of feel with your music background like a conductor as a project manager. So is there something particular to the language or pattern of music that you see play out in your work?
At least for me, whenever you get a new challenge, you have to go back to something you're familiar with to go. And I use the conductor analogy in my brain a lot. As what does an executive or producer or leader do? You know, a conductor doesn't play every instrument, but their goal is to get the best players and get the best out of everybody. And I'm fortunate enough to do the same thing at ThinkWell. I'm not a designer. I'm not a technical, you know, technician, magician, but we get the best people. we have to understand what the intent is and get to the finish and deliver that together. And that's my job.
And then how did you and your founding partners come up with the name Think Well?
I don't really remember how that happened.
Is there some meaning to it?
There is some meaning. It was really my partner, Craig Hanna, he's our creative director and writer, and he presented that, and it pretty much right away it stuck. I think what was important to us was that we create a company that's not named after an owner. We want the company to stand on its own and to grow over time and outlive us, hopefully.
And sort of tell us more about what differentiates Think Well. What's your mission? How are you different from your peers in LA and New York and other entertainment capitals of the world?
I think a big difference for Think Well from our competition is, one, our global footprint. We have offices and studios in Los Angeles, Montreal, Beijing, Abu Dhabi, and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So we have a really good understanding of what's going on globally. And also we work in so many different sectors. We really only do one thing. It's connecting that guest with a brand and building these experiences. But it takes us to everything from the theme parks and museums. We're starting to get into healthcare and the patient journey and hospitals. So it's how do we apply what we do into as many industries as we can, the experience economy.
And in the beginning, I mean, how did you establish credibility as a design and production agency?
When we started the company, the goal was to never have more than 10 employees. And it was really built off of our own personal reputations that we had built as freelancers and things, and we came together. And then just over time, it went from design to overseeing the building out and production of things. Now because we're 17 years old, we do a lot more of the business strategy on the front end.
And when did you know it was the right time to open multiple studios?
It's all opportunistic and organic. I would love to say we were super smart and had this great plan, but when you're working in different cultures, you realize sometimes it's really important to be there. So that was specifically China was the first one. We opened as a separate studio, and our philosophy is to succeed in China, you want to be Chinese, and you want to be local and viewed as a local company as well as an international company.
And what excites you to this day about Think Well's work, and what gets you up in the morning and gets you excited?
The best thing about it is it's so diverse. You can be working on a 3D movie one moment, the next minute you're working on a presidential library, the next minute you're brainstorming about how to bring entertainment into a new region like Saudi Arabia. And so that diversity is what really makes it a lot of fun.
And yes, you're never bored, I'm sure.
No, no.
MSU College of Music alumnus Joe Zenas is my guest on MSU today. He was back to give his advice to the graduating seniors this year. Joe, you mentioned Saudi Arabia before, but you're a general election authority. You're a member of that in Saudi Arabia. Tell us more about that and your work over there.
I'm a member of the General Entertainment Authority there. I've been going to Saudi Arabia for about 9 years, and you know, the Saudi Arabia of 9 years ago is very different than the one right now. And under the current leadership, there is a opening up and liberalization that's going on for the people, because about 70% of their population is under the age of 34. And they have a global view. And one of their five pillars they're using is bringing in entertainment, where things were banned 5 years ago. Now it's wide open. So they've gone from no public performance of music and events to this year, I think there's been 6,000 shows, concerts, festivals. And so it's really exciting to be a part of that and watching that come and change the face of a country.
Then I would imagine you have a different approach depending on the country you're working in.
Oh, absolutely. And there it's a lot of cultural entertainment as well. And they are bringing Western shows and popular concerts over. But the interesting part is you're also trying to build a support industry where there is none. They don't have a plethora of stagehands and rental companies for concerts and all of that, or trained designers. So part of what we're doing is also building this basis that can support the economic system itself over time. So when I first went to Saudi Arabia about 9 years ago, incredibly conservative culture at the time, no public performance, no live music. You would go into a mall, there's no background music. The only entertainment would be occasional cultural entertainment or cultural festivals. But the Saudi Arabia culture now, it's so young, they are the number one uploaders and downloaders per capita on YouTube as content creators. They watch all the same shows we watch, right? They all are streaming Netflix like anybody else is. And so the current leadership with this vision of 2030 Saudi Arabia has five pillars, including health, because they have all kinds of obesity crisis there. They're working on their education systems, and housing. And one of the other pillars is all about quality of life, which entertainment is a core component of that. So they're using entertainment and providing for their people these outlets as a core way of supporting their citizens. So it's gone from zero entertainment to they have Comic-Con, Nelly did a concert there, monster truck shows, cultural festivals. It's really amazing.
Is there a project you're most proud of? There's so many. It's hard to pick your favorite child, I suppose.
It's hard. I think I have a couple. On the large side, we just opened up an amazing theme park in Abu Dhabi that we've been working on for 10 years, Warner Brothers World. That's the world's largest indoor park. But we also did in London the making of Harry Potter, which is the factory tour and homage to where all the films were made. And that one we're super proud of. It's been, you know, a very highly rated attraction. And everybody I know who goes to London goes to it, but they don't know necessarily we worked on it, and which is always fun to hear back, you know, honest reviews that way.
Well, Joe, when you're hiring for ThinkWell, when your unique approach, I mean, what do you look for in employees?
Passion first and flexibility. I think that that's really, really important, because we're not necessarily experts on the topic when we start, but we will be by the end. An example would be we 2 years ago, we redid the Nixon Library, you know, the birthplace and his whole story. And we have to create, you know, it's been open for 30 years, but what's the audience for the next 30 years? So filling it with young millennials, how do you create this story that they will go see again? And so hiring people then that are willing to dive in deep, roll up their sleeves, understand everything about a topic like that, it's really important.
Well, how did you approach the creation of a corporate culture at ThinkWell in an age of startups and technological reverence?
ThinkWell was started probably at the hardest time to start a company. We had our first job, and it was in 2001, and our press release for the show was going to go out on September 12th. And then 9/11 happened. So, you know, obviously lost that first job, but I think the good thing of that was we were already at the bottom, so we can only build up. And what's been really important to us always is the owners of the company, we're not business majors, we're not here to flip a company, we all are doers and producers and creators. And that has always been in our culture, and I don't think that would ever change. So even though we've gone from, you know, four people in a garage to 220 people, it's still that ethos of creation is incredibly important, and that good ideas come from anywhere.
And Joe Zenas, you mentioned passion and flexibility that you look for in employees. Is that part of what you told the students when you addressed them at the College of Music graduation? Tell us a little bit more about the messages you hope you left them.
Well, I think that the main message is that you can do what you love, and you can go on a curvy path, and those experiences can lead to opportunities you would never know were there. And also that you have innate skills, especially as a musician, that you don't always give credit to that are very applicable in a business environment. You know, we talked a little bit about them before, and the level of discipline and accountability and your understanding of how to listen and read a room and showing up on time. Just that alone is an incredibly important skill.
What's next for Joe Zenas and ThinkWell? What should we be looking for down the road?
I think our newest initiative that I'm very excited about is, if you look at the base of what we're doing, is that we create guest journeys, right? We guide guests either through a museum or an urban environment. And so we looked at what other guest journeys are challenged and where can we help. And we're now focusing on healthcare. We just launched ThinkWell Health. We're looking at the patient journey and how can we make that better and partner with hospitals and healthcare providers and things like that.
Joe, how have you seen augmented reality play into your work?
We're really excited by it. All new technologies we embrace and try to figure out how to use. Because if you look at the life cycle of, say, designing a theme park, that's 7 to 10 years is what it takes to get something open, or even just a big attraction is probably 4 to 5 years. So we were playing with augmented reality 6 years ago. I think we started using it 7 years ago. But we look at it as it's another tool in the toolbox. It's not the end game. So even with virtual reality, it's great. It's cool if it works within the project or attraction you're trying to create. Because we actually have steered a number of clients away from it, say a museum that doesn't have a lot of commercial capital available, things like that. They really want to have VR right away, and it's hard to future-proof that. The minute, if you invest it, the minute you're open, all of a sudden you're up against PlayStation in somebody's house, and how do you stay better than that? So we'll use these tools just in different ways to always make sure that the out-of-home experience is shareable and fun and magical to some level.
And probably only if they play into what your mission is, because technology, just for technology's sake, wouldn't make sense.
Exactly. But there's amazing things that are coming out now and partners we're working with. And, you know, so that it's certainly technology is something that always excites us. And that's our group out of Montreal, especially, is always working with that. They're doing a lot with AI right now as well. And how do you personalize an experience? So a theme park knows you've been here before, and how does it interact with you when you come back the next time and you can level up, so to speak?
So do you still get the trumpet out once in a while? Or?
I'm more into guitars now. But my son plays, and there'll be moments where I would imagine
the music's in you, you just got to play once in a while.
But the last thing anybody really wants is at midnight, you know, you sit down and open a bottle of wine and then a trumpet comes out. That doesn't happen.
Joe, tell us, music's in your blood and it's still, you know, flowing through. Tell us some of the other things you're doing music related.
Well, on the side, I'm on the board of a fantastic charity called the Ukulele Kids Club. They provide ukuleles and music therapy directly for kids in hospitals and helping them, whether they're terminally sick or chronic, and using music therapy as this amazing journey for healing. Donated 7,000 ukuleles. I think we're in like 400 to 500 hospitals around the world right now. We have chapters that are opening up internationally. It's a fantastic organization.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for joining us on MSU Today. That's Joe Zenas. He's the MSU alumnus from Williamston. He was back to speak to the 2019 graduating class of the MSU College of Music. He's the CEO of ThinkWell. Look them up online to see all the cool things they're doing. And I'm Russ White. This is MSU Today.